Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We are talking with Richard Dolan. You're in the Paracast. I'm Gene Steinberg. Our co-hosts are Paul Kimball and Nicholas Redfern. Nick, it's your turn.
One of the things that just kind of occurred to me when Paul and Rich were just, you know, going back and forth on this whole issue of the national security state and this almost like monolithic secrets buried within secrets, etc., as it relates to national security in general, I'm just wondering what Rich's views are on how, when it comes to UFOs specifically, how we can even try and penetrate this entity, if you like, and get the information that, you know, seems to be hidden there. You know, I mean, I think the Freedom of Information Act has proven to be a useful tool, and we have intriguing and very credible witness testimony, but we always seem to be one step away from nailing it and getting the hard evidence. And I just wonder if Rich has any views, you know, hard views or just hypothetical ideas on how we really motivate the community, I guess, politicians, if we can, you know, to get past that step that we never seem to be able to get away from.
Yeah, well, this is actually the theme of another book that I'm writing and finishing right now with a co-author. It's been my belief that something along the lines of a breakthrough in the secrecy, let's say some form of disclosure, which is the word that everyone loves to use, is something of a paradox. I see it as impossible, but I also see it as inevitable. I see a breakthrough as impossible in the sense that there's no motivation, none, that I see that the secret keepers, let's say, have in revealing this secret. I don't see them ever wanting to do this. Nevertheless, I see the end of secrecy as an inevitability. I haven't yet decided what I think the trigger of that is going to be. I think it's very possible, though, that it could be a multiply recorded mass sighting that just somehow makes the breakthrough and becomes undeniable. And I think that that's possible because when I look at the trajectory of our own recent technology and our development over the past 50 years and, good God, over the past 100 years, it's very easy to see when you take the long view how we are on. We're going up like a rocket ship into like this new era of technology. In other words, 2010 is certainly not like 1990, and it certainly isn't like 1950. Just think of the changes that we've had in our world in the last 5 years. We've developed YouTube, which didn't exist before 2005, and cell phones that really aren't just cell phones, but they're personal assistants that really have the whole web right on there.
And iPhones with antenna problems.
Well, that's right. I got a neat little Android, which I'm kind of digging. But the thing is, these phones are just another sign of the kind of leapfrogging technology that we're developing. And I really wonder, you know, where are we going to be at in another 10 or 20 years from now? 30 to 40 to 50 years from now. By that time, most experts who are interested in things like artificial intelligence believe that even say 30 years from now, we are very likely to be close to or having gotten to the point where computing intelligence surpasses human intelligence. In other words, we're reinventing our society. So if I hypothesize between now and say 100 years from now, do I see that within 100 years we will have gotten to a point where the scientific infrastructure of our whole society will make it obvious that UFOs are a reality and some form of non-human intelligence? I think the answer to that is yes. So then I ask myself, well, when along the timeline from now to 100 years are we likely to hit that point? I don't know when that will be, but I think that it will happen. In other words, we are, you know, time is not standing still here. We're moving along a path, and I just believe that the continuing transformation of the technological foundations of our society are going to trigger something that is going to be an undeniable event. And I could be wrong. It could also be that we're moving toward a kind of global police state in which all information is completely controlled, and even with all of our new techno toys of the future, we still can't make the breakthrough. But I somehow believe that the situation's fluid enough that that we are going to make this breakthrough. I just don't know how it will happen. I guess I'll call it a faith.
a leap of faith. I'm an awful lot less optimistic about that than you are. I actually see us moving towards what I would call a national surveillance state. And I love Nick's blog. He has a blog called Night of the Living Jackboots, isn't it, Nick?
Where
he monitors the to and fro of the surveillance state in the United Kingdom. But let's run with your thing. One of the things I've always enjoyed talking with you about, Rich, is artificial intelligence, the concept of the spike of when machine intelligence becomes perhaps sentient. I like to call it the Terminator point, is a kind of a depressing thing.
But I was going to say I'll be back, but it's not for another 4 minutes. I'm sorry.
I'll be back, maybe. But if we look, let's just assume on a very, I think, conservative estimate that in 100 years, longer than perhaps those of us on this show have to live, in 100 years, we will have developed computer intelligence, artificial intelligence that would achieve some form of sentience where, literally we become God. And maybe, frankly, they're a lot smarter than us at that point. Or we have enhanced ourselves cybernetically, if you will, to such a point that we will have become the machine intelligence. If we're looking at space visitors coming from away to here, what do you think the odds, Rich, are that we're dealing with some form of biological entity, as opposed to the likelihood that we are dealing with an artificial intelligence that, when you say non-human intelligence, we mean non-human intelligence, and they are, if, say, 500 years more advanced than us, or 1,000, or even 200, they are so totally alien to everything that we represent as a society, as a race, that perhaps they're just up there waiting for us to reach that point where we become machines like them. What do you think of that?
There's a lot in that statement. I will say that I think back in 2003, I wrote an article, the first that I'm aware of in the UFO field that really dealt explicitly with this topic of the UFO phenomenon as having a strong AI component. It was actually not long after I had been really turned on my head by the great book by Ray Kurzweil, The Age of Spiritual Machines, a very great book. Kurzweil, in fact, does believe that the idea that what we're going to see in the future is a merger more than a takeover, that human and machine intelligence will kind of merge. Be that as it may, that really did get me thinking. If we see ourselves as hitting the spike or the singularity in a certain period of time, would not another technological civilization somewhere else have achieved that? And if so, wouldn't that be the form in which they're dealing with? All we can do is speculate. One thing that I would speculate is that, if I'm thinking, will any of us make it in a trip to the nearest star, which is a little over 4 light years away? The answer is, well, no, we don't really see a way for us to do that. But in 50 to 100 years, will we have artificially intelligent ships or artificially intelligent machines that can do it? I think, sure, why not? And if they arrive at another place that's so, so distant, would they have the wherewithal or the ability to interact with any native life forms that they may find? And if so, how would they do it? One speculation that I would have is that they might take native genetic material, native life forms, and sort of construct their own little workers out of it. One of the ideas from the late Mac Tawney, so I know all of you here knew Mac very well and were admirers of him as I am. Mac, in his last book, The Crypto-Terrestrials, wrote a little bit about why he didn't believe in the extraterrestrial hypothesis, and he described the types of creatures that people describe, so reptoids, insectoids, and humanoids. And as he pointed out, we have all of those on Earth. We have reptiles. We have insects. We have humans. So, what are people really seeing? I don't know, but one possibility might be that a visiting intelligence might well have taken native genetic material from Earth and constructed their own variant to do their own work for them. Just a thought. I guess the idea of AI, though, is fundamental to how I look at the UFO phenomenon.
I'll tell you, we'll get into AI and other considerations in a moment. We have Richard Dolan, our co-host are Paul Kimball and Nick Redfern. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast.
You are about to enter another dimension. a dimension not only of sight and sound, but of mind, a journey into a sinister land of secret rites, passwords, initiations, and handshakes, where the truth remains hidden, and history is controlled by an elite group of mysterious men. Imagine, if you will, that I'm holding a book in my hands that explains this secret history, and that the name of this book is Conspiracies and Secret Societies, The Complete Dossier. Here is described centuries of dark dealing, lies, murder, mayhem, and cover-ups in the pursuit of unimaginable money and power. My name is Brad Steiger, and the stories you are about to read may have actually happened at the signpost up ahead. Your next stop, Conspiracies and Secret Societies, The Complete Dossier.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I'm 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Originally, we the people have entrusted government to be the guardians of currency, to ensure purity, content, weights and measures of gold and silver coins citizens would use for commerce. This reinstalled confidence after the demise of the fiat continental system, wisdom being lost with time. The government we once entrusted to protect from counterfeit has colluded with private business, creating the largest fiat counterfeiting scheme our country ever experienced. This is not only a transfer of power to an institution that is not accountable to our elected government, but has also caused the dollar to lose more than 90 cents of its original value. Now foreign governments are trying to divest themselves from this once world reserve currency. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm offering a book that explains how the system works. Call me today at 800-686-2237. I will give you a silver dollar free just for purchasing the book. Call today at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you've got to try MyPillow. Introducing the most revolutionary, most comfortable, and coolest pillow ever, MyPillow. Imagine your very own custom fit pillow. MyPillow is the only pillow of its kind on the market that uses a patented fill, custom made to your exact individual needs. MyPillow is 100% made in the USA and has a natural built-in cooling effect that keeps your cervical nerves cool, and that helps you get the best REM sleep possible. MyPillow helps alleviate snoring, migraine, sleep apnea, and other sleeping disorders. MyPillow is antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, machine washable and dryable, comes in many sizes and will not go flat. And best of all, MyPillow comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So what do you have to lose? Except poor sleep. Go to MyPillowShop.com, mention coupon code GCN and receive up to $40 off. That's MyPillowShop.com or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. MyPillow for the rest of your life.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
There's a wide range of stuff on here.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
Genesis.
You're in the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
We have Richard Dolan, author of 2 volumes so far of UFOs in the National Security State, our co-host this week. Are Nick Redfern and Paul Kimball. You're in the Paracast. I'm Gene Steinberg. Paul, you want to follow up on that? Artificial intelligence. Ah.
Sure, because I love where this conversation is going. I was in, and I think I've mentioned this on the Paracast once or twice, so I'm allowed, I drop names every now and then too. I was in London last year in June, and I attended a lecture by Michio Kaku at the RSA where he talked about his new book, the physics of the impossible. And I had a chance to ask him a question, because there was a Q&A afterwards, and lots of people had questions, including somebody about coal fusion. And if you ever want to see one of our foremost string theorists roll his eyes, just have somebody mention coal fusion, because he did. But so then I raise my hand, and I ask a question, and I say, look, you've written, Dr. Kaku, in your books that there's a galactic conversation going on. You can start to hear the snickers. I'm not kidding. My friend Holly Stevens was there. Snickers in the audience. I go, which implies that there's obviously an extraterrestrial or extraterrestrial civilizations out there. More snickers. You crazy UFO guy. Mm-hmm. And so I said, well, what do you think the chances are of us tuning into that conversation anytime soon? How far away are we from perhaps being able to listen into that conversation and understand it? And then there were a few more questions. They took about six altogether. He ignored the other five. And I think this is relevant to how people view the UFO phenomenon. He ignored the other five. He went straight to mine. He said, I'll answer that one from the handsome young guy in the Boston Red Sox cap. maybe if I'd been wearing a Phillies cap, probably not. But and he went on at some length for two reasons. One, I think it showed him I had actually read his books, and I don't think maybe everybody there had. And two, he really seemed motivated by this, that this idea that there is this conversation. He said, well, look, type zero civilization where we are, then type one, type two, type three. Mm. If they're in a type two or type three civilization, they are talking at a, like us, and we're ants. And so we would speak, and the ants on the sidewalk wouldn't even know we're there. And he said, we're so far away from understanding that galactic conversation that I can't put a timeline on it. And I said, well, thank you very much, Dr. Kaku. To me, that showed two things, though, and I know this is kind of long-winded, but one, serious people take the UFO phenomenon, take the concept, and I know he does, and take the concept of extraterrestrial intelligences very seriously indeed. But two, he's also written about the idea of artificial intelligence and where we might be going as a species. And so to continue on, Rich, with what you were talking about, this idea that, and I find this quite interesting, I got to admit, I hadn't wrapped my mind around this, that if the aliens, for lack of a better term, are coming here, perhaps they don't even have a body. Perhaps they're flying, the ships could be teeny tiny, and they're basically computer intelligence, they've uploaded themselves to the holodeck, if you are. They're little more than, when you see the sort of heads in the Star Trek things, thoughts. It's basically they've evolved to maybe Kaku's level three civilization where they exist as creatures of thought. Who knows? Maybe as creatures of thought, they can travel without the aid of ships. Anyway, they come here and they have to, in order to interact with us, in order to somehow talk to the ants, they create, they use the genetic materials that exist on any given planet to create some sort of avatar. Right. For lack of a better term, and one that is very popular now, that allows them to interact with the alien species. Do you think that might explain what we refer to as, what a lot of people refer to as the alien abduction phenomenon, or that it might tie into cattle mutilations in some way? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think this idea that these aliens may have taken native DNA from Earth, I hadn't encountered this anywhere else. This is just some speculation of my own. I think it's certainly a possibility, and I would always want to distinguish between what I feel that I know and what I think things might be. So right. This I'd put into the category of what things might be. And I continue to entertain it as an actual working hypothesis, or as one hypothesis. The abduction phenomenon is something that I think is happening. I don't think it's solely an ET derived thing. I've come to feel that there's an active military or black ops component to this as well. And I only say this because I've personally spoken with too many individuals now, too many, who have convinced me that they've been taken by military groups and that they're not delusional. So I think that there's something that's very seriously going on there. I mean, I don't know how many people I can talk to before I start thinking, yeah, I think it's happening. I've spoken to a few. What I think is happening is that for reasons that I still don't have all of the answers to, these non-humans are taking people. Now, there's appears to be a breeding aspect to it. I don't think it's outrageous to think that they're creating some kind of hybrid species by crossing human DNA with whatever it is they've got. I think that's a possibility. They might be interested in more arcane things about us. I've spoken to a number of people who feel that they've been used for for psi abilities, and the psychic abilities, and the capacity of being with these non-humans, and also the military groups. I can't prove this, but again, it's happened more than one time in my own investigations. I haven't published any of this stuff. I'm still trying to wrap my own head around it and figure out what is actually going on. So in other words, what I've really come to wonder is if there's a kind of covert cold war, as it were, that's happening below the surface of our official truths, that has to do with the national security apparatus, this very, very secretive and I think very advanced component of our own civilization. I've come to call them a breakaway civilization, in fact, and these non-humans, let's call them extraterrestrials out of convenience, but maybe they're something else.
I just want to go to the Paracast forums here for a second, because it's always good to give back to the community that gives so much to us. I say that slightly tongue-in-cheek today. There's a guy named Ron Collins who's one of the moderators, and we have a thread that says, you know, questions for Richard Dolan. And so this is kind of taking a left turn here. But he asks two things. He says, first of all, did Ike – Eisenhower, obviously, meet with aliens, and I'm sure you're aware of the story about Eisenhower having a meeting with aliens. So that, and two, do you believe or do you think that, quote-unquote, men in black exist? And if so, who are they and what are they up to? So maybe we could talk briefly about the supposed meeting between Ike and aliens.
Let's split this up, Paul. So he'll answer the first part, this section, and then the next segment we'll go to the second part.
Eisenhower and aliens first, then. Yeah.
Well, I think it may well have happened. I will say that the rumor of Ike meeting with aliens came out within a month of when it supposedly occurred. It appeared on the Frank Edwards radio show in, I think, late February, possibly early March 1954. Someone leaked something to the radio host Frank Edwards, who was the Art Bell before there was Art Bell, back in the 50s. I didn't really take that story super seriously for a while. I still don't take it completely seriously, but I think it's possible. There have been a couple of sources that have alleged that this has happened. I have not come across anything that definitively refutes them, and so I'm willing to consider it as a possibility. I don't see it as illogical either, to be honest with you. If there's another intelligence that's here, having a covert meeting with the U.S. president doesn't strike me as an outrageous thing to consider.
We're talking with Richard Dolan, and the topic, of course, was whether President Eisenhower met up with E.T. Our co-hosts are Paul Kimball, Nicholas Redfern. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the PowerCast.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@webtv.net. That's MrUFO@webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Thousands of Americans are facing evacuation. If you or any of your loved ones might need to evacuate, you must do it yourselves. Please don't procrastinate until they do it for you. Remember the terrible conditions of those that didn't get out for Katrina. Go right now to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex or call 800-409-5633 for information on the new Evacuation Pack. It contains 2 weeks of delicious, easy-to-fix food, along with the equipment to prepare it. It's packed in a rugged, heavy-duty tote for transport. Evacuations are looming with the storms and the Gulf oil catastrophe. No matter where you live, wildfires, earthquakes, floods, and storms must be escaped. Don't be like a deer frozen in the headlights of oncoming disaster. At least prepare yourself with this 2-week evacuation pack from eFoodsDirect.com. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
You're in the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
Our co-host is Nick Redfern and Paul Kimball. Our guest is Richard Dolan. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast, and we ended up the previous segment with speculation as to whether Eisenhower ever met up with E.T. So where do those rumors come from anyway?
Well, I don't know how the rumor reached Frank Edward. I'm not sure if anyone knows that. This is, I'm trying to pull this off the top of my head, and I think I'm failing here. There's a letter written by a gentleman supposedly named Gerald Light. I recall reading that thinking this described his vantage point of what supposedly happened between the meeting with Eisenhower and ETs in February 1954. This supposedly happened at Edwards Air Force Base. There was another gentleman, and his name is escaping me, but I actually met him. He spoke at one of Steve Bassett's ex-conferences a couple of years ago, elderly gentleman who said that he was at Edwards in 1954. He didn't meet with Eisenhower, and he didn't meet with any aliens, but he was at Edwards at that time and made a case of the fact that this did happen. So, I'm at the point where I'm thinking it's certainly a possibility, and trying to nail it down is something that I don't know how I would nail that one down at this point. The other question was, what do I think of the Men in Black? I guess I would answer that in two ways. Certainly a lot of the alleged stories of the Men in Black have turned out to be either, you know, non-credible or probably just fraudulent. There was very recently, I think, a very good analysis of the Maury Island incident from 1947 that involved Men in Black, and this is by Tony Bergaglia, who I think did an excellent job showing that the Maury Island incident was very probably a hoax. I think that could well be, and you know, that being said, the Men in Black incident associated with Maury Island would be then a hoax as well. Men in Black were associated with the researcher in the 50s. God, Gray Barker wrote about him. Albert Bender. Thank you, guys.
You see, some people think I'm actually senile and that all I ever say is UFOs are here to make us think.
Right.
But that's not true. I resemble that remark.
Gene is like the specialist relief pitcher. You just bring him in when you have a Gray Barker question or something. From the we need a strikeout. Gene, come on in for the bullpen.
Thank you, dude.
I also control the stop button, so I have other authorities.
Exactly.
He was another one who talked about an encounter with the so-called Men in Black, and it seems very dubious that happened with him. Who knows? There were some other Men in Black stories that I think are a little more credible. There's one concerning a Mexican witness from the mid-1970s that I personally think seems to have happened. I've, again, spoken. This is me speaking personally to two individuals who have described what I think anyone would say would be a Men in Black type of encounter. So I think that they may well be. Certainly, look, there's a lot of government, black-suited goons out there who might be trying to intimidate witnesses of various types. And in fact, we know for sure that government agents have from time to time interviewed UFO researchers. There's one from the late 1970s, Robert Todd, who was one of the early Freedom of Information researchers, did receive a visit from the FBI. They came into his living room to ask him about, or I think it might be the NSA, to ask him about a document that he found in relation to an NSA monitoring of a UFO event over Cuba in the 1960s. So, yeah, I mean, it could happen. I guess I would just leave it at that.
Do you ever think possibly that some of these Men in Black things are really done by civilians who just want to stir up the pot and have some fun? I mean, we know like people like Gray Barker and Jim Moseley, years past, played a few pranks. They can't be the only pranksters on the planet.
No, it could happen. Certainly the Barker stories I wouldn't take seriously. And we know, actually, just coming off the top of my head here, researcher William Moore, back when he was going full guns in the 1980s, did have kind of apparently some kind of phony government identification that he showed another researcher, showing that he was supposedly with some defense group that he didn't seem to have. I recounted that in the second volume of my book, in fact. So, yeah, people could be just lying. There's a lot of that.
Too much in the field. But do you ever think also that maybe there are these intelligence types who are getting involved overtly in the UFO field just to stir the pot up even further?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I'm glad you brought that up again, because this is something that I meant to discuss earlier, and it is one of the theses of my latest book, I suppose, which is that what happened by the late 1970s is that, at least it seems to me, that there was a two-pronged assault on the citadel of secrecy. Right, one of those prongs was the Freedom of Information Act, which, let's remind ourselves, back in the early 70s and 60s and before, was really an unforeseen development. There were a lot of classified documents pertaining to UFOs that the originators of those documents had no expectation ever that these documents would see the light of day. And yet, by the late 70s, they were. Now, those documents were of sort of mid-range classification. They weren't, the ones that were top secret were all blacked out or whited out. The ones that were released were secret and confidential and restricted. These are lower levels. Nonetheless, they were important. A lot of them were very, very compelling documents. And so that was one fear, I believe, that you shake the tree hard enough and something important is really going to fall out, and then you're going to have a hell of a time trying to explain it. The other prong on against secrecy, I think, were the stories pertaining to crash retrievals of UFOs, sightings of dead alien bodies that were, in storage and so forth. And by the late 1970s, there were quite a few of these that were making the rounds. A lot of them were coming to the UFO researcher Leonard Stringfield, who was collecting dozens and then scores of these stories. Some were investigated pretty well, others not so much. But it certainly could look to, if we were the secret group and we were trying to keep all of this together, we might be really concerned that at some point he's going to really hit a home run here with either a crash retrieval story, or someone's going to shake the tree hard enough with the documents and get something important out of that way. And so what it looks to me happened circa 1980 or early 1980s is that there was, in fact, a sort of counterattack against the UFO research community by the intelligence community. part of this took the form of Richard Doty, who was an intelligence officer at Kirtland Air Force Base, Office of Special Investigations. A lot of people know about Richard Doty. He was involved in doctoring documents. He was involved in trying to pass off information to the researcher Linda Moulton Howe back in 1983. And then a year and a half later, I was told point blank by Timothy Good was involved in passing the MJ-12 documents to Timothy Good after Bill Moore had refused to do anything about them. In other words, Doty's group was trying to push the MJ-12 documents out to the public in one form or another. First, by showing Linda Moulton Howe and seeing if she would take the bait, and she didn't, actually. Then 19 months later, in a different form, gives these documents to Moore and Jamie Chanderay. And then over a year, 2 years later, no, three plus years later, gets them to Timothy Good in early 1987. There's an attempt here by at least this intelligence group to get these documents out. And what have the MJ-12 documents done? Well, since they've appeared 25 years ago, the UFO research community has been spinning its wheels, arguing about these documents. You've got people who believe that they are legitimate. You've got people who believe that they're completely hoaxed documents, completely fraudulent. You've got people like myself who actually think that there's something in between here.
Well, we'll look for the between and the betwixt and all that stuff soon. Richard Dolan is joining us on the PowerCast this week. We also have our special co-hosts, always special because they're experts in their fields, Paul Kimball and Nick Redfern. A reminder, go to theparacast.com, theparacast.com for more hundreds of shows to download. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the PowerCast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack! Attack! Of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockoids, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition."
You've seen our SinoFresh banner on the GCN website.
Yet your sinusitis is still a problem.
Are you waiting for your sinusitis to go away by itself?
Are you waiting for a SinoFresh discount?
Okay, here it comes.
But first, the facts.
67 other products merely treat symptoms.
And not the cause of sinus problems.
And 37 million Americans suffer from sinus distress just like you. But now many are finding relief with the only patent-protected homeopathic nasal product that antiseptically eliminates the known causes of sinusitis. SinoFresh.
Now, here's your limited-time discount offer to use SinoFresh.
Call 888-906-3636 right now for $2 off per bottle when you mention GCN. That's it. Just call 888-906-3636 and mention GCN for a $2 discount.
But hurry, this offer is only for the first 1,000 customers.
Call 888-906-3636. 888-906-3636. Call right now for $2 off per bottle.
Mention GCN.
Buy SinoFresh.com. It works.
You worry, but only because you're paying attention. What's happening in the Gulf of Mexico illustrates an audacity toward nature. A similar audacity called GMO, or genetically modified organisms, means that the quality of commercially grown food may be compromised with our health in the balance. Now that summer's here, what better time to learn about the bounty that nature provides in wild edible food? Let author Linda Runyon show you the best-kept secret in plain sight that food is everywhere you look. This summer, for the cost of a good meal or two out, you can literally starvation-proof yourself and your loved ones against any future craziness and put up tons of free food, too. Whatever experiment is being run on us, you can rest assured that Linda's 50 or so staple foods aren't involved. Our foods are their enemy. So go to ofthefield.com or call toll-free 1-888-51-EAT-FREE and take that first step. Make your oasis of food security and nutrition now. That's OFTHEFIELD.com or call 1-888-513-2837. Start now and make 2010 your year of independence.
Question. What would you rather drink? Acidic water which burns holes in your body and causes loss of bone mass? Or alkaline water which promotes high energy and vibrant health? The answer is clear. And if you're drinking acidic water, you're helping cancer cells and bacteria to grow out of control. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using Plasma pH Drops is the best way to alkalize your water and help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, or cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. Again, 269-409-1776.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
And I think it really does make a difference.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned in to the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
You're in the Paracast. Our co-hosts are Nick Redfern, Paul Kimball. Our special guest is Richard Dolan. I'm Gene Steinberg. Nick, you have to be champing at the bit at this point. You've done a lot of studies of government involvement in UFOs. What do you have to say for yourself?
Well, you know, I mean, one of the things that sort of occurred to me while Rich has been commenting on, you know, what we know and government agencies and certain players in the field, you know, disinformation, et cetera, it really sort of hits home the fact that we know something's going on, but we're not really sure of the full picture. And I just wonder how Rich feels if, you know, if the UFO community plays a role in getting the full story out one day and we get beyond this hall of mirrors manipulation angle, and it's not all good news. I mean, do you think the UFO research community is going to be seen as heroes, or are we going to be viewed as people who it would have been better if we just left it all alone and it stayed in the darkness?
Yeah, I ask myself that a lot, and I think we'll probably have both types of responses, frankly. I do think that there's very possibly, very probably, a dark element to the truth about this. I don't think it's all, advanced space brothers in the Galactic Federation are trying to bring us to the next density of consciousness or whatever. I think that there are other intelligences that have agendas, and that these agendas may not all be in line with our own best interests. So I think, in other words, we have to be careful. And so, you know, let's imagine that we are in the know and we're faced with a situation where these entities are so far beyond us and they're just doing their thing and we have no ability to stop them. So what would be the use, right, in dredging up the truth and causing everyone to panic? And you could argue that. My attitude is, you know, you can live in a world that's built on fundamental lies, or you can live in a world that's grounded in some fundamental truths. And for myself, I prefer to try to find truth. I also think that most of us want truth, even if it's kind of a difficult thing for us to handle at first. Just like every child growing up has to learn some very difficult and unpleasant truths about the world around us, I think that so too. I think us as adults often have to do the same thing. I would rather know the truth. And I also think we're getting to a point in our society where our technological capabilities might be more formidable than we give ourselves credit for being. It is possible that, like Michio Kaku's theory, you know, we're like ants compared to them. But it's also possible that progress doesn't go like that. It's possible that it goes in leaps. If, as I think and many of us think, we're moving into an age of artificial intelligence that's very, very advanced. We're also moving into an age possibly of something like quantum computing, an age of very, very advanced nanotech, as well as biotech revolutions and so on. In other words, we are on the verge of reinventing our species, and that's not necessarily an incremental change. We might be taking a kind of leap into their world, maybe not as equals, but maybe to the point where we might be a real pain in the neck to them. And so I don't think we need to be so careful with the truth. I think that we – and the other thing is that we – as a species, as our nature, I don't think we can help but try to seek the truth. And so that's just what we are. That's what I am, and that's what you guys are too. So whether it's a good or bad thing, I have faith in a couple of things. One of them is truth, and I realize that that isn't necessarily grounded in reality, but I believe that truth is the best way to go. That's about all I can say.
Kind of a totally different question, but it's something that's cropped up with me several times where people ask me, well, how do we get the answers? I mean, you know, what do you feel about, regardless of what they found or didn't find, what do you feel about people who, I guess, are kind of frustrated by the official stance and they kind of go the backdoor route? People like Gary McKinnon. I mean, is the motivation or is the answer worth the motivation, I guess, legally and morally, or, you know, are they just asking for trouble and they deserve what they get?
Well, McKinnon has had the last, you know, 8 years of his life basically shot to hell over what's gone on. Here's a guy who believed that he found evidence at the, I think, U.S. Space Command website for a kind of space program, secret space program. I've read his statements. I think that he probably did. Though he can't prove it, and he was smoking a lot of weed at the time, so there goes that. But I think he probably did. I think the attack against him by the U.S. government is all out of proportion to what he actually did. He didn't even hack. It's really a mistake to describe him as a hacker. He's more accurately some guy who was just standing at the door waiting for it to be open and seeing what he could see. You know, one of the ironies, one of the funny things, crazy things about the McKinnon case is that, you know, the initial reportage on this all was heavily UFO centered. When you read McKinnon stories now, the UFO part almost never even appears. If it does, it's at the very bottom of the story. It's almost been expunged from all the coverage of the McKinnon case, which I find very interesting. But the other thing is that if the U.S. government denied that there's anything to do with the UFO phenomenon, then why the hell are they on him like flies? Why are they after him the way that they are? I think it's would leave one to believe that he did find something and that he found probably what he says he found, evidence of a U.S. Space Command covert space program. So is it worth it for him? Well, you'd have to ask him that question. I don't know. You know, there's a lot of personal sacrifice with a lot of individuals who are in this field who really try to dedicate themselves to the truth. And I know it sounds idealistic, but that's how it is, and that's how a lot of people see it. And there is sacrifice involved. Many people who are researching this field could probably, certainly, make better money doing a lot of other things. I'd like to think that I could, and yet here I have, I've thrown myself on the altar of UFO research, and I'm staying here.
And you don't think that maybe, you know what, folks, why did I do this? I can't be that crazy. I should just get out of that and do a regular job.
You know, it's funny. After all these years, and it is difficult, and every time I write a book, it takes so much out of me physically and mentally. But I've never been at the point where I've regretted the research that I do. I've never been at the point where I've regretted this turn down the road that I've gone. I have often wondered, you know, should I have finished the PhD that I was working on? I wrote over 100 pages of a dissertation. And just gotten a job in academia. Would have been an easier life in a lot of ways. But I'm actually glad that I've done what I have. I have to live a little bit more flying by the seat of my pants, because I don't know. I don't have the kind of security that a tenured professor has, obviously. But I'm just doing what I do because I think that I'm driven to do it. And I've come to accept that, and I'm fine with it.
Nick, you have a follow-up to your previous line of questioning?
Well, basically, I mean, Rich kind of answered that question for me. I guess, you know, where I come from is more the perspective of, yeah, we've got great information, we've got intriguing witnesses, we've got a body of FOIA material, we've got further intriguing information that suggests that the story that we have so far is probably just a fragment of the bigger picture. But it really just comes down to, is it just going to be the case that when me and Rich are pretty much the same age, when we're hopefully still around when we're 90 years old, are we just going to have more filing cabinets full of more reports, or are we going to have more answers? And if we're going to have more answers, how do we get them? I see, from my perspective, although, you know, there's certain cases which everybody disagrees on and a lot of people agree on, that's always going to happen. But the fact that there's a genuine UFO presence in my mind, and it's not us, is overwhelming. But it's all, but people came to that conclusion 50, 60 years ago, you know, Stringfield, Kehoe, etc., Hynek, but they went to their graves and right. solving it. Right. How do we today in the 21st century not turn into, in 2050, you know, the 2050 Kehoes and Hyneks? How do we resolve it?
I look at it as a two-stage process. One is to, three parts. You learn the truth to the best of your ability, then you speak the truth, and then you have to promote the truth. What I try to do for my contribution to this is to write the best, most clear history of the phenomenon that I can write. That doesn't, you know, I realize Paul's here, and I know that he doesn't agree with all of my conclusions about UFOs, but I'm hopeful that the case that I've put together in my book and that other researchers have put together at least makes the case that there is an unexplained phenomenon that involves somebody's technology that is more advanced than is supposed to exist.
I'll tell you what, we'll get into more of that in a moment. Richard Dolan joining us on the PowerCast. Our co-hosts are Paul Kimball and Nick Redfern. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the PowerCast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.